Well, this week we come to the second chapter in the Acts, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Praising God and having favour with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Dear congregation, here before us on this particular day on which the Holy Spirit was so poured forth, many were brought to faith in Jesus Christ. Now it is evident in verse 41 that 3,000 souls were converted. They were blessed by Christ and they joined the church there at Jerusalem. Many were blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And since this time, so many have been blessed by Christ. This is just a little drop in the ocean of those who have been blessed by the Redeemer since the day of Pentecost. Now in Psalm 72, verse 16 and verse 17 we read, "And they of the city shall flourish like the grass of the earth. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun. And men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed." We see a people blessed in Christ. And we see the city, the church, flourishing and growing. Well, the church here flourished on this day. And the gates of hell could do nothing to prevent it. You remember again those words of our Lord in Matthew 16, verse 18. "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And we see that plainly here on this day of Pentecost. And we can look down through history since this day of Pentecost, and we can take note that the gates of hell can do nothing to prevent the church growing and growing. Now, as we come to this chapter, we read in verse 1 these words. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Pentecost, 7 weeks and a day after Passover. Leviticus 23, verse 16. "And on this day, two loaves, which were called wave loaves, were offered up in thanksgiving at the end of a particular harvest." So we think of Pentecost. Young ones, we can think of 50. Now on this particular Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was so poured forth, evidenced by certain things. Come with me to verse 2. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting." And then in notice verse 3, here's another evidence. "And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them." And then particularly notice verse 4, "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Here was the evidence then. We note these verses here, and particularly verse 4. We think of miraculous tongues speaking. Now, what were these other tongues? Simply different languages to what was their own. And these languages were recognized by others. Just come with me to verse 6. "Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." You know, there's much confusion in certain quarters on these things of tongue speaking, but the word of God makes it so plain. It was different languages, and certain ones who were there, as we shall note in a moment, from different places, could hear the wonderful works of God in their own language. It was miraculous because the apostles were speaking and they could hear in their own language. But let's never entertain false notions of tongue speaking, as certain ones have done in the past. Simply it was other languages. Now note, these were proper tongues, as we've already considered in verse 6. Come with me also to verse 8. "And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born. Now just think of this. We note the certain ones there in verses 9 down to verse 11. The Parthians could hear the wonderful works of God, and so the Medes, dwellers in Mesopotamia, all these different groups could hear the wonderful works of God in their own tongue as the apostles were speaking. So there's no confusion here. Now particularly note again verse 11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Now we consider here was a crowd from different countries hearing the wonderful works of God. Now Peter, on this occasion, preached a powerful sermon which was used by the Holy Spirit. We have that in the middle of this chapter. Now, after he had finished the sermon, we're told in verse 37, the people were pricked in their heart. They were convicted. And being convicted, they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Well, Peter responds in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now we're told in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." And it bears record that the Holy Spirit was at work in the hearts of so many. There was effectual calling. The Holy Spirit had convicted, but also shown the suitableness of Christ. Faith was implanted within. There was a receiving of Christ. There was a receiving here, as we see, of the word. They believed what Peter preached, and they had come to faith in Jesus Christ. 3,000 souls, we're told of in verse 41, were added. There was conversions, and these were added to the church at Jerusalem. Many new converts, and not just on this day, for we note at the end of the chapter, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He daily worked in the hearts of many and put that inclination in their hearts to join the church, the local church. Now, particularly, I like us to note these words at the end of verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." I'd like us simply, for the remainder of the time tonight, to consider first of all the Lord. We see the Lord was at work here. And then secondly, the church, and we'll do so very briefly. And then thirdly, the new converts, what these new converts were doing. Well, firstly tonight, the Lord, verse 47, "Praising God and having favour of all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Now we note these additions were added by the Lord and not by men. The Lord added. Now what we're being shown here particularly, the Lord was saving, and so he was adding them to the visible church afterwards. He was saving them. They were true converts, and so he was giving them this desire to join the church there at Jerusalem. We particularly consider that each day the visible church was growing. However, we note here the Lord was saving men and women each day and causing them to be inclined to join the church that was before their eyes. He was at work. He would save them, and then he would cause them to be inclined to join the church. So we read here then, the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now consider, the Lord was at work. The Lord added to the church. Because of the Lord saving and putting in the heart that desire, they were found joining the church that was before them. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, I'd like us to open this up a little further tonight as we consider the Lord was at work. Firstly, the Holy Spirit was at work in effectual calling. Come back with me to verse 37. But when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? We think of this word here, which is translated as pricked. It literally means to pierce through. You think of the gorse bushes up in the forest, and you may go out and you may play with certain ones. We sometimes take the youth meeting out into the forest, and sometimes tennis balls or kites get tangled up in the gorse bushes. And when you go to retrieve such, if you're not careful, you're likely to get pricked. And the needles pierce through. Well, we think here of this pricking, this piercing through. They were pricked in their hearts, literally to pierce through, to pain the mind sharply, to agitate. They were pained in their minds. They were pained in their hearts. Simply, they were convicted. They felt convicted. You know what that's like? You feel it in the heart, don't you? I remember many years ago, and I did something wrong, and I really felt it keenly. That I did this thing wrong. Pricked. Well, here they were pricked in the heart in that initial way. They felt their sin. They were convicted. Their consciences were stirred. And their hearts were pricked. Well, being convicted, they cried out, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Well, the Holy Spirit was at work here in effectual calling. There was the conviction of sin. Let me underline, in effectual calling, the Holy Spirit convicts the heart. The Lord made that plain. In John 16, verse 8 and 9, we read, And when he is come, a reference to the Holy Spirit, particularly in view of the day of Pentecost, and when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment, of sin because they believe not on me. And do not we see that here in this chapter? Of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit was so poured forth at the day of Pentecost. And so since that time particularly, but not excluding previous times to that, there is that work of conviction. They were convicted. Many were convicted here on this day. Have you been convicted, even to a small measure? The Apostle Paul was greatly convicted on the road to Damascus. Lydia, we're just told her heart was open, but there was some small measure of conviction there. Have you been convicted? You felt your sin? You remember the publican? Luke 18, verse 13. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You remember a time as a child when you were being told off by your parent, maybe your father or your mother, and you couldn't lift up your head. You felt shame. Well, there that publican, he felt shame. He couldn't lift up as much as his eyes to heaven. And when we think of prayer, sometimes we see in Scripture the lifting up the eyes, the looking to heaven. Well, this publican, he couldn't do that because he felt shame. As he bowed his head in conviction, he smote his breast. He smote at where he knew the problem was, his own sin in his heart. He was convicted. Then go back and consider the prodigal son or the lost son. Remember when he came to himself, Luke 15, verse 17, he cried, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I would arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He felt convicted. He came to himself. And in effectual calling, the Holy Spirit brings one to a right mind. They come to themselves. They feel their sin. Have you come to yourself? Has the Spirit done that work within? There, that lost son, he fills his sin. Father, I have sinned against heaven. That's what he was going to say, and before thee. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would work. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would go into the hearts of many in this village and convict of sin, and further into this area, and further up and down this nation. Oh, that there would be a work of conviction and effectual calling. Now, as we think of the work of the Spirit and effectual calling, not only were they convicted, but they were shown the suitableness of Christ. Consider how the Holy Spirit again was using the preaching of the word. Peter had preached Christ. They were convicted because they had not believed in Christ, but they were also shown the suitableness of Christ. And being convicted, they cry out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter again points them to Christ. "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." He pointed them to Christ, and the Holy Spirit again was showing the suitableness of Christ. Note in verse 41, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." They received it. They come to faith. They received it. The Holy Spirit had pointed out Christ to them, and they had believed on him. What a wonderful ministry that is, of the Holy Spirit impressing upon the soul the suitableness of Christ. Dear brethren, the Lord did it in your heart. That's why you believed in Jesus. Is there anyone here you've not been shown the suitableness of Christ? That he's the only Saviour, the only hope. We hear the Holy Spirit was at work in effectual calling. There was conviction. The suitableness of Christ was shown. Faith was implanted. We've already touched on that. We know that plainly. Then they that gladly received his word. There was a receiving of the word because they had received Jesus Christ. Faith was put with them. It's so plain here, isn't it? Go to the end of verse 47. "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." There was saving faith. Oh, what a precious gift is saving faith. We sang in Psalm 2, verse 12, "Blessed are all they that trust in him." And what a wonderful thing at the beginning of this week to lean on Jesus. And as you go into this new week, what a wonderful thing to have faith, to lean on Jesus. What a precious gift. You know, many at this time of year are looking forward to gifts. I have something already most precious, the gift of faith. And the Holy Spirit here on this day put faith into the hearts of many. Now, in passing note, how many hearts? And on subsequent days, as we see in verse 47, the Holy Spirit put faith within. The Lord is able to put faith into the heart of one. He's also able to do it into the hearts of many on one day. And so when we pray for souls to be saved, we pray for the ones and twos. Let's also pray for the thousands. Because the Holy Spirit in the same similar time can put faith into the heart of thousands. Even after one sermon. Oh, what a precious gift faith is. And then as we think of the work of the Holy Spirit and effectual calling on this day, consider that these people were found in union with Christ. What a blessing. In 1 John 3, verse 23, we read, "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us." Through the Spirit there is union with Christ. Oh, what a wonderful work was being done on this day. And if the Holy Spirit has so worked in your heart, what a wonderful work has taken place. Well, we could go on and consider the work of the Holy Spirit on this day. But let's secondly, consider here, as we think that the Lord was at work, the shepherd was bringing sheep to the fold. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The shepherd was bringing sheep. In John 10, verse 16, we read, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Those are such precious words. I must bring. In eternity, a people were given to Christ. Christ received the gift. And I'm so thankful he received the gift in eternity. In time, he brings those to himself. I must bring. He must bring 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. And many in subsequent days. And how amazing is the truth. He's not just brought thousands since these days. He's brought millions. And dear child of God, you are one amongst the millions whom the shepherd has brought to the fold. What a great work the shepherd has done. I must bring. What words of authority. I must bring. How amazing is the truth. He thought of me in eternity before this world was made. He thought of me as he came to this world. In the manger, he was thinking of me. As he lived his life, as he grew up in Nazareth, he was thinking of me. As he went forth in his public ministry, he was thinking of me. As he suffered, he was thinking of me. As he hung on the cross, he was thinking of me. As he rose, he was thinking of me. He was thinking of me when I was born into this world. He was thinking of me in effectual calling. And he went after me. I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Remember that account in Luke 15 verse 4. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? A number of years ago, we were in North Devon. And there's a particular farmer there. He's got a vast flock of sheep, and he goes to tend, he goes after them. Well, on a particular day, one of the lambs was lost, and the shepherd went and found the lamb. Think of the shepherd's work, he goes after until he finds. And when he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. How amazing that the shepherd went after me, and he did not give up. On this day, the shepherd went after 3,000 souls, and on subsequent days, as we see in verse 47, and he's been going after so many, and in time he went after me. Oh, dear child of God, rejoice in Christ tonight that he gave his life for you as the faithful and good shepherd, and that in the time of love, he went after you. And he didn't stop until he had you. He knew everything about you. All the things you had done wrong and all the things you would do wrong, but he didn't stop. How amazing, my shepherd didn't stop in coming after me. How wonderful that is. Well, we see that shepherd is work. We're thinking of our triune God at work on this day and in subsequent times. Well, we thought of the Spirit in effectual calling. We thought of the shepherd in going after the sheep and bringing them to the fold. Let's consider thirdly, the Father was receiving. The Father was receiving. Now, as we think of adoption, the Father predestinated the elect unto adoption. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Just note those words, according to the good pleasure of his will. He predestinated the elect unto the adoption. Think on this day and subsequent days, as we see in verse 47, the Father was receiving. Think again of the lost son. He came to himself. He felt convicted. He would go, and there the Father, he embraced that lost son. He received. What a lovely picture that is. The Father receives an adoption. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 18, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. On the day of Pentecost and in subsequent days, the Father was receiving. How amazing that the Father received me. Remember the lost son dressed in rags because he'd been in the pig field. I was in the world dressed in rags. And yet the Father received me. 1 John 3 verse 1. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. What manner of love. And on this day of Pentecost, what love was being seen by the Father, by the work of the Father. And on those subsequent days, behold what manner of love. And dear brethren, we ought to consider the amazing love of the Father that he received us in effectual calling. And he's still receiving. There's still that gracious work, act rather, of adoption. And the Father is receiving. The Lord is at work. Let's bring this all together. Tonight and in days to come, the Holy Spirit will work in effectual calling. There will be conviction. The suitableness of Christ will be made known. Faith will be implanted. There will be union with Christ. The shepherd will go forth and go after the sheep. And the Father will be receiving. What our triune God is doing, and I believe it sincerely every day of the year, has he been at work in your life? How wonderful to be found as his adopted children, as we think of the Father receiving. In Galatians 3 verse 26 we read, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And in Romans 8 verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Father was receiving on the day of Pentecost and in the subsequent days, and those new converts could cry, Abba, Father. Oh, that many would be given faith tonight and would cry out, Abba, Father, Father, Father. And dear brethren, consider that we have been received and that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our hearts that we are the children of God and that we can say, Abba, Father. Let's be so thankful. What a privilege to be able to say, Abba, Father. We often think of those words, Our Father, which art in heaven. And many say those words. What a privilege to know the Father who is there in those words. To be able to say, Abba, Father. What a privilege to be in the family. What a blessed state we are in. The Puritan Thomas Cole wrote, adoption translates us out of a miserable estate into a happy estate. And what a happy estate we were found in when we were received by the Father. Well, these new converts then were in a new family and were able to cry, Abba, Father. The Lord was at work on the day of Pentecost and on the subsequent days, as we see in verse 47. But before we move on, just consider further. The Lord was at work in the preaching of the word. We've already considered that. Consider further how he would use those new converts to speak to others. How he uses his people instrumentally. And we can consider the Lord at work when he uses his people to speak to others. Well, the Lord was at work on this day and on these subsequent days. And the Lord will continue to work. But before we move on, one more thing. As we think the Lord was at work, he was causing men and women to be inclined to join the visible church that was before them. We think of the 3,000 souls on the day of Pentecost joined the church of Jerusalem. And others joined. The Lord was at work because he put it into their heart, that inclination to join the church. Now it's my prayer as pastor, the Lord would so work in this way further. Has he worked in your heart? It's a prayer that the Lord will work in the heart of this village and in this surrounding area. The souls will be saved, and then the Lord will continue to work and give them a heart to join the local church here, as we see in Acts, also in Acts chapter 2. Has the Lord worked in your heart in this way as well? Well, let's move on, consider more briefly tonight the church, and we'll be much more brief. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, in this chapter, we are thinking of additions to the church, particularly at Jerusalem, which was part of the visible church, The Lord was saving and then causing them to be so inclined to join the church. Well, think of the church, ecclesia, a calling out. And the Greek word conveys the idea of a people called out, assembly of men and women. That the church belongs to the Lord. Christ is head. He has the rule. We thought last week of those words he uttered not long before he left this world at his ascension. Matthew 28 verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And as we think of those words, we think of his commands, what he has commanded, his ordinances, what he has ordained. And so there's singing in the worship of God, there's prayer, there's reading and the preaching of the word. These things, or some of them, are put to one side today, but let's remember they are ordained things, they are ordinances. And then we can think of the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. So we can think of the church. Now, a particular local congregation is part of the visible church. There were additions to the local church at Jerusalem. The Lord put it in the hearts of many to join the church. And that's my prayer for the church here at Ibsley. Now, we thought of the visible church, and local congregations are part of the visible church. Young ones, simply that which we see. But let's consider now, secondly, the invisible. Those who are savingly united to Christ. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. They were first savingly united to Christ, and then added to the church there after Jerusalem. Think of the invisible church, the family of God, the body of Christ. Are you in God's family? Have you been brought into the fold? Now Jesus is the door. He is the way in. John 10 verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. What an invitation. Robert Murray McShane wrote this, there are many sweet invitations to sinners in the Bible. I have often felt these words to be the sweetest. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. If any man, what a precious and sweet invitation. Have you received that invitation? Go in, says the Lord. You have the Lord's invitation. So we think then of the church, visible and invisible. What a blessing to be savingly united to Christ. What a blessing further to be part of a local congregation. So secondly, the church. And then thirdly, as we close, the new converts. The new converts. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We see the Lord was saving. There were new converts. Well, let's consider in closing what they were doing. Come and meet to verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continued steadfastly, holding to the truth, holding to the doctrine of Christ. They held to it. We can consider further, they would come and listen to it again and again. They were often found listening to the preaching of the word of God. They continued in worship. Notice verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued in worship. They came around the table to remember the death of our Lord, as we note there in verse 42. There was a oneness. There was a concern for others. Verse 45, these new converts had a concern for others. There was fellowship. We note that again in verse 42. Well, here was the life of the church. And what a blessing to be found doing these things, to be engaged in these activities. Think of the people. They were going on in the ways of the Lord. They were serving him. What a blessing to come and worship the Lord. That's what they were doing then. That's what we're doing now, isn't it? Worshipping the Lord. Hearing the word of God, gathering for prayer. We see that again and again in the early church, do we not? The gatherings for prayer. The coming around the table to remember Christ and what he has done for us. Fellowship, a mutual concern, and what a blessing these things are. Note in closing verse 47 as we consider what the new converts were doing. Praising God and having favour with all the people. Now notice they gained the favour of others. They were respected. These were difficult days, but there was a measure of respect with some. Now this does not always happen. And dear brethren, don't be surprised if you're not respected. Maybe in the workplace or in the community, you're despised. But you may know a measure of respect because of your faithfulness to Christ. You're seeking to serve him. How you cope in affliction. People can respect that. But particularly notice verse 47, the first part, praising God. Here these new converts, they were praising God. And dear brethren, let's carry on praising God. He's put a new song in our mouth. He's delivered us. We've got so much to praise him for. They praise God. Praise God for the plan of redemption. They praised him for the covenant of grace. They praised the Lord that Christ came, that the Lord lived for them, died for them, and rose again for them. They praised God for effectual calling, for salvation. On we could go. And dear brethren, let's praise God for grace, the covenant of grace, the plan of redemption. Praise God for effectual calling. How he drew you to himself. Praise God that Christ came to live and die for you and rose for you. Be thankful for the blessings that have come your way. Praise God that you have been preserved in affliction, that you are held by almighty power in the valley of difficulty. Praise God. We have so much to praise him for. Praise God for your clothing, for your homes. They were found praising God. There was the spirit of praise, and there's ever to be a spirit of praise in the church of Jesus Christ. Yes, there can be difficult days. There can be dark days, challenging days. I'm describing these days. But there are still calls for praise. Praising God. What were these new converts doing? Praising God. And we who have known the Lord for a number of years, let's carry on praising God. And let's pray there would be new converts, that they would join us in praising God, in giving thanks. Psalm 136, verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endure forever. Just think of God. He is good. Give him thanks. Think of his mercy. It is like an ocean surrounding you, like a great river that keeps flowing in your direction. praise God for his mercy. And let's gather together to give thanks. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. In the presence of God, praising him, thanking him. Verse 47, praising God. And dear brethren, we have so much to praise God for. I do not know what trials are in your way. I do not know what pathways of affliction you must yet go through. But I can assure you of this, there will still be much cause for praise. And when he brings you through all affliction, and you get to glory, and you're there in eternity, you'll just know from the bottom of your heart that eternity is too short to offer all that the Lord deserves. Praising God, that's what we'll be to do now as the people of God. And that's what we'll be doing in heaven. It's a little bit of heaven here on this day. And may we know a little bit of heaven as we gather to praise God. Oh, for new converts to join us and to be found praising the Lord. May the Lord be at work in days to come. May we see great things happening. May we see many coming to praise the Lord for his name's sake. Amen.